This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, Rule 76 is hours and hours from now.
Yep.
It is now the start of the show, July the 6th, 2022. A lot of Mets, very disappointing loss despite Max Scherzer looking, he was terrific last night. Yankees, that's, you know, good thing they're so far ahead of the game because that's a bad loss against Pittsburgh. So tough night in New York baseball. Kevin Durant, what will happen there? We have a mystery game, which I asked you guys, do you want it to be sports, do you want it to be non-sports, or do you want a conglomeration of the two? And you all agreed a conglomeration of the two. So at 6:45, you'll get your mystery game. But before we do any of it, we say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. Nice to see you this, well, I mean, this used to be the Stump Rothenberg Wednesday, but now we have a fancy new game.
Like that kind of party.
Yeah, today is MGW.
MGW.
MGW, Mystery Game Wednesday.
Yeah, and RJ seems thrilled about it. He seems like he's really excited for it.
No, I don't think he believes I can pull off a decent mystery game. He's like, can you give me a little insight so it's not dead air when we start the game?
Yeah,
I will.
I'm excited for it.
I don't think you are.
I was up extra early this morning.
For what
bright,
reason?
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to rock and roll. Let's go.
For what reason?
I couldn't wait for this game. I was like, oh, Cass, I'm going to get up extra early, get prepared for today's game.
Oh, God. Don't lie to me.
I'm not lying to you. I was up extra early.
You were not up extra early. What was that, yesterday? You woke up yesterday? Extra early.
I did 2:11 I woke up this morning.
2:11.
A couple minutes early. I jumped right out of bed. Ready.
What have you been doing since 2:11 today?
A lot.
I mean, really, you've been up for 3 hours, and it's now 5 o'clock in the morning. What the hell have you been doing for
There's
3 hours?
There's been a lot. I've accomplished a lot already.
What have you accomplished today so far?
I worked out.
Oh, you worked out? What kind of a workout? What did the workout entail today?
I did some cardio this morning.
I hugged dips. Hard bodies the other night.
Were they dips?
No dips.
No dips?
No dips today. No, it's good cardio. I was on the machine, the elliptical, the arc machine. Did that.
How long you do that for? 40 minutes?
Yep.
Exactly 40?
Yep. Around 40, yep.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at you, right? This is why we're the
best. I got pythons. And then you did what? Curls?
No curls. So I'm going to save that stuff. Then I prepared for the show. Took a nice shower.
Nice shower.
And then I turned the TV on. Boom.
Yep.
Going over the Mets, going over the Yankees.
Do you ever take not a nice shower?
No, I love the shower.
Right, exactly. So you don't
Especially
need to tell us it was a nice shower. You took a shower.
But it's this early.
But it's implied, if they're all nice, then you don't have to tell us every day it was a nice shower, just you took a shower.
Yeah, but we don't ever talk about my shower, so I was just letting you know this was a nice shower.
This was a nice, okay. So from now on, when we discuss your showers, can we just say you took a shower, knowing,
yes,
understanding full force that these are nice to begin with?
Yeah, everyone will assume it's a great shower. Yes.
Okay,
a shower, then I...
You a hot shower guy or cool-ish shower guy?
No, it was a nice hot shower.
Nice hot shower.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Let it run on the back, the neck, yeah, oh, yeah. Loosened right.
Let yourself go.
Really let it go.
See, but now here's what I don't understand. You're all drenched from the elliptical.
Yes.
And then you want to take a hot shower?
Because I don't really want to take a cold shower. I did the thought of taking a cold shower. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm all set. We had to do that.
All right,
so you take a
nice shower.
Nice shower.
And then you start watching what, Daniel Vogelback highlights?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, what a specimen he is.
That's a man-sized man is
that's
what that is.
That's an athlete. That's an athlete right there.
Woo.
Yeah,
how much do you think that guy weighs?
A lot.
You think he's 300?
Yes.
You You think a baseball player that tries to run the bases weighs over 300 pounds?
Why? Does he try to run the base? I mean, does he run the bases?
I think that's the goal, right? If he hits the ball to the gap, the goal is to scurry around the bases.
Yeah, I don't think that's I would say it's probably not his goal to scurry around the bases.
He's a big man.
They say he's 250, but there's no way.
Please.
No, he's 6 feet.
Then I'm 175.
Yeah, 6 feet, 250. I'm rolling around 6 feet. I'm 200 and probably, I don't know, 10 pounds, 12 pounds. There's no way he's 250.
No
there's
way. No chance. RJ just says he's listed in the guide at 6 feet, 270.
Okay, that's more like it.
But you know what? There's no way he's 270.
No. There's no chance he's 270.
He is a mountain of a man.
He is a humongous human being, yep.
And if he catches up with the baseball, look out.
It's not well put together. Let's call it what it is.
No.
No.
No,
like when you see Starling Marte, Judge, Stanton, they're well put together athletes. Danny Vogelbach, eh.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Not so much. I was fat at one point.
I wanted to ask you this question, though, because you started the show with it.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Yankees, and I think part of you is just trolling Yankees fans, which I respect.
No, I wasn't.
Worst loss, though.
Worst loss.
All in. Worst loss. Them losing to the Pirates or us losing to the Reds?
Well, am I factoring in the importance of the game?
Everything.
Nothing in the Mets.
Of course it is.
It's not even close.
It's an awful loss. It's terrible.
Not even close. The Yankees have done so much they can afford laying an egg, right? The Mets lead is now 2.5 again. So no,
yeah.
The question of worst loss is not. Now, if you said take records out of it, losing to Pittsburgh like that or losing to Cincinnati like that, what's worse? I mean, Cincinnati didn't even play their starting guys. Like their starting shortstop doesn't play. Farmer, Joey Votto got the night off. You have some guy coming off the IL that, I mean, has had, what, 3 or 4 starts in his major league career. You couldn't score a run last night if you're the Mets?
Not one. No.
And Scherzer was excellent last night.
See, but that's, and therein lies the issue, is that he's back. He looked awesome. Like, I didn't expect that. You asked me yesterday. I didn't expect it to look that good. He looked great. And then, you know, on top of that, I mean, this is a guy who hasn't started a game since May 18th.
Right, and he looked phenomenal. He's been out for, what, 6-plus weeks?
Yeah, and he steps right back in, and he's dominant.
What did he give you, 6 shutout innings last night?
6 shutout, 11 Ks, 57 of his 79 pitches were strikes.
Right, and you lose the game.
Yeah, well, you couldn't score a run.
You're not going to win a lot of games when you don't score, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, exactly right. I mean, that's the thing with this Mets team right now. When he got hurt, right, and it was RJ actually had some really good numbers in his little rundown, the premature look ahead.
Why do you have his little rundown? Like, why do you have to do that?
It's just a force of habit now. You haven't been doing it.
No, it's a direct shot right across the jaw at RJ.
Well, today's was nice. Let's be honest. Today's had some nice nuggets. There was a lot of in depth. He did some research yesterday.
The one on Sunday was. I mean, there was a lot of meat on that bone.
Well, yeah, he's got attachments. I mean, you can click on things to go to, like, websites. It's very, it's intense.
It is. It's a lot.
Yeah, but you ask the guy to fix a water heater, and there's no chance. Can't do it. It's too big for him.
Of course. First of all, stop with the too big for, would you, please?
It's too, you heard him. He was overwhelmed
if,
by
if
it.
If you had to cuddle, marry, trash, you know, and then double trash, any of the four of us to fix a water heater. No one gets the marry. None of us.
Of course, I get the marry. I'm the only one of us that owns a tool belt.
So you think you own a tool belt, and now you can fix a water heater?
And I have a toolbox. Yes.
There is no chance that I would even let you look at his water heater.
I'm telling you right now. Yeah, you have me over in Brooklyn. I'll have your water piping hot. Done.
I would probably take Ray first.
Ray would look at it and it would be like Chinese to him. He would have no idea what it was.
No, see, this shows how clueless you are. I've actually fixed a water heater before.
Look at that.
Stop it.
And then I'd probably take Rick. And then me.
What do you mean probably take Rick?
And then
your options. You who can't do it or Dave.
Dave would move out and just buy a new house.
I would just take a wrench and just start hitting the water heater. That would be my way of attempting to fix the water heater.
Make sure it's still connected when you do that. See what
Dave
happens.
Would have one thing in his tool belt. It would be a cell phone, which he would pick up and call somebody to come put in the water heater.
Now, I will tell you this.
Radio
you,
host lights himself on fire.
Yes. By hitting the water heater over and over and over. If you walked me into your home and said, what is this? I think there's less than a 50% chance I would know it was even a water heater. Nonetheless, fix the damn thing.
It's like showing Rosenberg a naked woman. What is this?
Yeah. We'll see naked ladies.
I don't know what to do with this. I have no idea how to.
I don't know. Does this go here? I'm not really sure.
No, I would take Santiago number one. I have the most confidence in Raymond.
You think Raymond goes in there and fixes the water heater?
I think he has the potential where he's seen it. I think he's maybe fixed one before.
Now, how about now, RJ? You need a new water heater, right?
That's right.
How about a full installation? Same rankings.
Who's installing a full water heater by themselves? Who's doing that?
And this isn't meant to be mean, but in all seriousness, rather than spend all this money on the water heater, why not take up a pot of water, put it on the stove, heat it up, and then that's plenty of water for you and Ange to take a tub with? No?
You're a mean human being.
I'm trying to be practical.
You really are. You're not a nasty guy.
You're not even being subtle anymore is the thing.
I mean,
usually you're subtle
repulsive.
With these.
First of all, who uses the phrase to take a tub with?
A bath.
I mean, to take a tub. People don't take baths.
Maybe he wants to take a tubby.
No, yeah, nobody takes a bath. You know how gross a bath is?
I'm with you. Very anti-bath.
I mean, bath is like...
It could be an erotic bath, maybe.
I don't even know what to say about you anymore.
It's a suggestion. I'm trying to save the guy money. It'll be nasty with me.
This is what happens when he's been up since yesterday.
I'm a problem solver.
This is what happens on the elliptical.
Yeah.
You should have called him right over.
He probably has a list of things to say in situations to all of us.
That's
If you want to help, why don't you just cover the cost for a new heater for him? That way he doesn't have to worry about it. That would be a good guy.
Oh, why am I always the one that's going to cover
the cost? Why? Because I'm perusing the internet on July 1st. And I see Rick DiPietro.
That's fake news. Don't even get me started. I was saving that for Friday. That's such fake news.
It's not true?
No, it's not true.
Rick caught all those Bobby Bonilla strays on the 1st.
Because that's what they're trying to do now. They're trying to make this a thing. It's not a thing. I don't get paid on July 1st.
You know whose fault this is.
I don't care whose it is. They're all hacks.
It's Carlin's fault.
Well, he's a hack. They're all hacks.
So July 1st is not. Is there a day where you increase monetarily?
No.
No.
I get paid the same as I would always get paid. And plus, I get escrowed the same.
Did you know DiPietro's Italian for Bonilla?
Yeah, I don't just get a check. Like, the clearinghouse doesn't come to my house on July 1st with his big check and present me with a check.
You're ruining all my hopes and dreams. So you're not receiving this?
No.
I saw on the internet.
You don't even understand how many text messages I got. Can I borrow money? Congratulations. I was like, what is everyone talking about?
Yeah, all around the internet. TSN Canada had it.
Hacks.
It said, you received $1.5 million on July 1st. Bobby Bonilla, like $1.19.
No, hacks. Not true.
Not true.
Not true.
Oh.
It is not true. It is 1,000,000,000% false.
And I thought everything you read on the internet is completely true.
Yes. This is where you get in trouble.
Oh, man.
I know. Not that I'm opposed to helping RJ with the water heater, but I mean.
See, Dave, if you've been up since 1 a.m., you'd know these things.
You would know these things.
So you knew it was not true.
I'm not going to comment on what
RJ knows everything. What do you think? He just all of a sudden wakes up and just puts this thing, like this thing just magically gets put together?
No, I think RJ does a lot of work for this thing.
Lots of work.
I would agree.
And I'm hopeful you put a lot of work into this mystery game. Yeah, you don't know what I know.
The mystery game?
Yeah.
This is going to be such a low-budget mystery game.
You know, forget it. You know, you put something new together and I would be right by your side. Like Thelma and Louise, you know, good for you. You've brought something new to the table.
I put a new open together every single Thursday,
and most times I'm like, boy, that was a terrific job by you.
Oh, you're critical. You're very critical.
I don't need you to be nasty, and now you have me nervous about the MGW Mystery Game Wednesday.
Well,
I don't know if I want to do it anymore.
God forbid you lose like your page, like your piece of paper goes missing. Because last time that happened, you just start randomly.
Sam Houston State hammers Letourneau.
Here it is.
Lawarno or Lashorno. You know what? We'll just do stuff Rothenberg then.
It's fun. It gets funnier every time I hear it.
It's fun. You know, we'll just go back to old hat, Stump Rothenberg, bland, boring. Where did Steve Smith go to college? Fine. The basketball player, Michigan State.
I'm going to be doing afternoon drive in Tel Aviv next week.
That's all we'll do. We'll just recycle and regurgitate the same boring act that we do.
He can't help himself.
And you guys will be pigs in you know what.
He can't help himself. He's like the basketball player. He's going to go basketball, football, just to show
up.
Well,
the basketball player, Michigan State, obviously. Football player, USC. Right? Yes. Aminu Muhammad, baby. Aminu Muhammad into the NBA draft. No longer at Georgetown. You want to hear from Max Scherzer?
I think he deserves it.
You want to hear from Buck Showalter?
Let's go Max.
All right. Well, we'll do that in a moment, because now you've walked us right up to the line where we need to take
a break. Oh, God.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Carlos Santana, not the baseball player, the musician, he collapsed on stage the other day during a show?
Yeah, he had to be treated on stage by EMS. They called it a serious medical emergency, but he's going to be okay, they say, so.
Well, thank goodness for that. And then you, because you are so timely, you play Santana coming back from break.
Well, who doesn't love Santana?
Everyone loves Santana.
Even you love Santana.
What does that mean, even me?
You only like one type of music. So
Like I'm a mongrel. Like, it's like this guy couldn't like anything.
You act up. You criticize his music almost every day.
So, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Bring me
he
Yacht
goes
Verdi.
On and on and on and on!
Bring mediocrity to the table, and I don't care anymore. Okay? Does that work?
I think I'm going to play you stuff from my Dominican playlist as the show progresses.
All of a sudden, he's the Herb Brooks of radio.
Seriously.
Really? I mean, just whatever. Bring whatever. We'll go through the motions. No, I like to put on a good show, and some of the music he plays is just not great, and I call him out on it.
Again.
This is what he does.
Go and show that you were going to.
I'm going to play TV themes all day.
TV
do that too.
I would love TV themes all day.
We've done that already.
I don't know if you can handle it though. You don't look nearly as recharged as you did yesterday.
Well, no, because day two is never as
but,
good.
But you all know right. what that is, Rick? That jumps the batteries. Then he starts shouting.
Yeah, but you could barely even see his eyes. Like he's.
What do you mean you can't see my eyes? I have eyes.
Thank you for being a friend.
Barely.
Oh, stop it.
Yesterday, his eyes were wide open.
All right, I want to hear from Scherzer. Enough of you and your music and your mystery game and all that stuff. Can we get into sports? This is what Gordon is so dynamic with. Just breaking down the sports. Our sports! Sports! And I know you miss Gordon, so let's get into it. Here is Max Scherzer. How did you feel after the start?
Felt great. No issues whatsoever today. Felt strong all the way through. Never tightened up on me, so that's a good thing.
All right, so good news there. What were you most pleased with after your start?
That I was able to locate the fastball then, but most importantly, really felt like I had a really good slider tonight. My rehab starts, slider really wasn't breaking the right way. And over this turn, you know, my bullpen really, I thought I found something on my slider. You know, I knew I was going to need it against this team and was able to execute that and make that adjustment. And I felt like that pitch really helped me navigate their lineup tonight.
He was sensational. I mean, the way he was pitching last night, it felt like he could have stayed in for 15 innings and they wouldn't have scored.
And now, he wanted to.
You think he wanted to stay in for more?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he said Buck after the game said he wanted to pitch the seventh. And he's like, yeah, I can tell you he's not happy with me right now. That's just who that guy is.
Yeah, he's a warrior.
Yeah, he's a bulldog. That's why you brought him in here. But, I mean, you wasted a great start against the team that you should beat.
You should beat them 8 out of 10 games.
Yes. Yes. You have to take advantage of a start like that. I know, listen, it's just in the grand scheme of things, it's nice to have him back. And hopefully he's healthy for the duration of the season.
Right.
But, I mean, right now, Mets lineup with runners in scoring position hasn't been good. They haven't been getting the job done. DH has been a black hole. Catching position has been a problem. Like, I asked you yesterday,
it's a real problem. I mean, like Nito and McCann offensively are.
How long can you wait?
Well, I think you had a longer leash. You know, when it was 5.5 or 6.5, it's down to 2.5 yet again.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, what today's July 6th, so we're what, the 13th? So we're 4 weeks away from the trade deadline?
Yeah, but I mean, and here's the thing, though. I almost get the feeling that Steve Cohen and Billy Epler kind of feel the same way that I feel right now in the moment, is as great as it would be to just make moves now because you're hell-bent on winning the NL East. The reality, I think, for them is they're going to make moves. They're not going to start getting crazy now. And as long as they have DeGrom and Scherzer back, they like their chances.
I like their chances, too. And I think that's probably the right way. But I'll tell you what, I can't go into big postseason games and have relievers that I don't trust.
And that's the other thing, too.
And how many guys do you really trust right now?
Nobody.
You trust Diaz, right?
That's it.
And that's it. And that's a problem.
Well, and the other problem, too, is now you got to figure out what you're doing with Lugo, because he can't pitch back-to-back days. It's clear.
That's pretty obvious, because he was atrocious last night.
He had nothing yesterday. Nothing. And you couldn't use Ottavino. He was trying to stay away from Drew Smith. So it was...
What's with that? Why couldn't Ottavino pitch, by the way?
I don't know. He wouldn't tell you. I mean, Joely came and pitched well. But, yeah, I mean, that's a problem right now. It's a huge problem, because you could tell Lugo had nothing. And that's probably a ball. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, Marte should have probably caught that ball. Yep.
Yeah, he pulled up a little bit. Like, he thought he was closer to the wall than he really was. But still, I mean, he couldn't throw a strike. No. Lugo.
No, he was dreadful last night. I mean, and the thing is, you want to kill him, fine. You need to score runs against Lodolo.
Lodolo's got good stuff though.
I get it, but the guy's making his first start in months. And his pitch count was, they weren't going to really push him above 80, and he threw like 25 in the first inning. I mean, the fact that you couldn't score, Ross Detweiler, I mean, these guys are shutting you down?
No, it's a problem right now. I mean, it's a problem. They were, I mean, like the Mets at one point, I mean, were the best in baseball with runners in scoring position average-wise. And recently they have not been at all. They've struggled. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, I mean, if Pete's not carrying you, right? I mean, it's...
And Pete was frustrated last night.
Well, you can tell, too, because he doesn't... I mean, he's really the only one in the lineup, power-wise, that scares you in that lineup.
Yeah.
Like, he needs some protection. And you got a couple... I mean, you just got a couple huge gaping holes in your lineup right now.
Catcher's a major problem. And I know Escobar has moments where he hits the ball, but he's not had a great season.
No, he's not had a great season. DH has been a problem. And then, I mean, your catcher's been a problem. And Lindor's kind of been streaky. I know the RBIs are there, but again...
Isn't he so streaky? Like, there's games where he's just so good and games where he's just... I mean, he was bad last night.
Listen, I love the guy. He plays every day. I said that to my buddy on Sunday. We were watching the game. I'm like, as much as I criticize him sometimes, it's not because I don't like him. I criticize him because I know how good he is.
Yeah, you expect and want a little bit more from him.
Like, when we brought him in here, he was brought in here to be one of the best players. Like, he was to carry the team. Like, as good as Pete was, you brought him in because he was supposed to be the guy. Like, not like, oh, yeah, he's a really good shortstop. No, he's supposed to be up there as one of the best players in the league. And I think, I was going through his stuff yesterday. Like, in June, he hit .211 in June. That's not acceptable.
No, it's not. And he has a ton of RBIs.
Yeah, he's got a ton of RBIs, but still, I mean, there's... And he plays every day. Listen, I want to see him be great. And it's not easy to play here. I understand that, especially when you sign a big ticket like he signed. But if this team's going to get where they need to get, he's going to be at the top of the list of guys that need to produce on a regular basis. He's that important.
Yeah. Who would you say is the most important member, everyday player on the Mets? Lindor or Alonso?
I would say
Lindor.
I would probably say Pete. Because he's the only one you have, really, in the lineup.
With power.
That's it.
With real legitimate power.
That scares you. Like, real legitimate can change a game power.
That's going to take you yard every time. That's a worry.
Yes.
Yeah, but you ask Lindor he hasn't done it every time, but you ask him to do so much.
Like, no, I understand that.
You're saying be a gold glove shortstop, you know, hit for power, because you expect some power from him. Run the bases. Like, you ask a lot of Lindor on this team.
Well, yeah, but that's why you're paying him $341 million. Like, that was the expectation.
I get it.
So, hey, listen, I mean.
I'm disgusted this morning with the Mets.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a missed opportunity.
It's a bad loss. And again, listen, are they going to make the playoffs? They're going to make the playoffs, right? Can you agree with that? Whether they win the division or whether they get it as a wild card, they're going to make the playoffs. But I mean,
yes.
But I don't want to have to play a first round series. Like I mean, there's a real advantage to being a top two team in the league now. It's not you get an extra home game. You don't have to play that series.
I misspoke, by the way. He hit 202 in June.
Lindor?
202, yeah.
That's not good.
Went from 261 to 241. Not great.
Not good.
Not great. Not what you want. But hey, listen, I mean, you're right. You do ask him to do a lot. And there are things that this team, even with the pitching staff back and fully healthy, there are still things that need to be done. Like, this is like with the Yankees, bullpen is solid. I mean, pitching may wear down. You want to add an outfielder, but like the bullpen needs real work. Real work.
You need at least. Now, I mean, do you even trust Lugo at this point?
Well, I just think he has to have a clear role as to what he's doing. Like, I'm going to bring him in. He's going to pitch. He's going to get me multiple outs, and then he'll be unavailable the next day.
The fact that Adam Ottavino is looked at as a real cog in the bullpen is concerning. And I think outside of Diaz, and he's clearly your best closer, your best reliever, the fact that I think Drew Smith is the one you feel the most confident in is a worry.
Well, remember though, too. I mean, at some point you're going to have you'll get reinforcements without making deals. Just as we get closer to you'll move guys back into the bullpen, which will help. Once we start talking about postseason stuff, but no, I mean they need real help now. Real help now.
So, I mean, you probably could use another bat. I mean, I don't know. Do you need another starter as well? And then you absolutely need bullpen.
You absolutely need bullpen, and you could use a bat.
So there's a lot. There's a lot there. All right, so Mets on the table. We've discussed it a little bit, gone over it a little bit. Get to the Yankees. Get your calls on the Mets and the Yankees. Over to the NBA. Mystery game Wednesday. I have sent RJ my needs for the game. RJ, you've received that text?
I have.
Okay. And you're putting things in order now?
Yes, I think it will land well.
The game?
I think so. You have a good track record.
I am too smart.
Stop it, Ray.
I also think, Dave, just to get real sportsy with you for a second,
yeah.
get in the weeds sportsy, I wouldn't be opposed to giving Max the extra day. Let's push him back. Let's have him start
to Monday against Atlanta?
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, I think that's absolutely what I would do.
I think we should do that.
Those games are bigger.
I don't need Trevor Williams starting game one for me.
No offense. I could not agree with you more. And, I mean, Bassett, the only guy in the world now that has to miss like 10 days for getting COVID, right? Everyone else.
Relax. Relax, Captain COVID, all right? You don't know what the guy's dealing with.
No, I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying, like, everyone's like, I have the sniffles, now I'm back, and this guy is actually hit with COVID. I had it too.
I have COVID, okay?
I was sick for weeks.
No, I know. You got hit hard. You don't know how you're going to be affected.
Case hit again.
Hard.
I know. He's off the
Yankees. Hit hard.
All week. I was texting with him yesterday, because that's what you do as a friend. You check in on other friends.
I think we check in on him more than his actual show checks in on him.
Is that true?
Well, I think I've been every day. Have you been every day too?
No. Yesterday was the first check in. I said I heard you had COVID and wanted to see how you're doing.
He got it.
Very nice about it though.
But you were away though, so you're just getting back.
Yes.
That was the first official day you're back though from your recharge.
Well, I wanted to check in and see how my friend is doing. Absolutely.
You know who's a
stud,
too?
Take a walk.
Alcantara's a stud, dude.
Oh, yeah, he's phenomenal.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
At what point do you look at Houston and say, they're right there with us? Like does the one seed ultimately
already
matter that much for the Yankees, I guess?
Already.
My question. You do,
no,
huh?
I mean, I looked at them already, yeah. I mean, that's a really, really good team.
But I'm talking about for standing purposes. Like, for standings. Like, they're now, what, four games in the loss column behind you?
Yeah, they're chasing you down. I mean, you saw what it looked like.
On your 58,
that was the wake-up call.
You're 58 and 23, and they're four games in the loss column behind you.
Yeah, but everyone's been so focused on the start. The Yankees have had an unbelievable first half of the season. An unbelievable first half. But, I mean, Houston, when you go up and down the lineup and look what Houston has, and then you match it up with what the Yankees have, I mean, Houston's right there.
I think they're everybody a bit as good as the Yankees. I really do.
Okay, so if you know that, I know that, RJ knows that, Santiago knows that, and you got a chance to you witnessed it. And yeah, I mean, it feels like that's the team you're going to have to go through. And they're going to make moves. You know, Houston's going to upgrade.
Absolutely. So you are very much aware then, if you're a Yankees fan, of where Houston is right now.
In the grand scheme of things, as far as who's going to have the best record, you should be.
And does that, and serious question now, does that ultimately matter that much? Like, you know you're going to get a bye.
No, because you're going to get a bye. Well, yeah, because you want home field in the CS.
So that's it. So it all boils down to, I want to stay ahead of Houston so I can get home field in the championship series.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're not going to be, I mean, you're not going to be, and you asked me this question a couple weeks ago as far as, Judge hitting 62 home runs of the Yankees, setting the regular season wins record. Like, and I'll go back to my initial point that I made. If the Yankees set the wins record and still find a way to lose to Houston in the CS, I mean, Yankees fans aren't going to be happy. It'll make it worse, probably.
They'd go crazy.
Yeah, right now you got 58. Houston's got 53 wins.
Yeah. You have 23 losses. They have 27. And
that's correct.
I think it was Buster Olney that tweeted yesterday that the opposing records of the teams that you're playing the rest of the way, Houston has a way easier schedule than the Yankees
do. That's right.
So.
Which, who knows? I mean, who knows? I mean, the Yankees just lost to the Pirates.
Right. No, I get that. You never know. But they're 58 and 23. They're winning almost a 72% clip of their games, and there's a team that's right there?
Well, I think you're also getting an opportunity to see how important Judge is to this lineup, too. Because he's in a little bit of a slump.
He makes the whole thing go.
He makes it go. And then the other thing that we keep talking about with the Yankees is they're starting pitching wearing down a little bit. I mean, look at Jameson Taillon's last six starts.
Well,
his ERA's over six.
I mean, these guys pitch every fifth day.
That's great now, but we're not worried about now. We're worried about what this is going to look like at the end of the season and the most important part of the season.
By the way, 313, 25 home runs, 58 RBIs, and 53 runs scored. Yordan Alvarez is a...
I told you that yesterday. He's the guy. He's right there as far as MVP conversation.
I mean, my God.
He's a beast, man.
He really is.
He just did a walk-off the other day.
He really, really is. So, but again, you're the Yankees, and you feel fine with where you are. You're not concerned. You have an enormous lead in this division, right?
Well, you're 35 games over 500, so we're at the halfway mark. 81 games played. You already got 58 wins, so you're 35 games over 500.
Which is a wild statistic.
You lead the league. You lead all of Major League Baseball in home runs. You lead all of Major League Baseball in ERA. And you get the best. You have the best run differential.
It's hard to find any flaws.
So you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, you're in great shape. No, it's hard to find any flaws. Let's hear from Aaron Boone after the game last night. Let's start with the positive. Did you like what you saw from Chapman yet again?
Yes. I mean, that's more in line with what we've been seeing in his work. You know, hopefully that's a big step for him and kind of getting him moving. But I thought it was really good, actually, and hopefully one of the good things to come out of tonight.
Now, it appears, and this is the way that it has to be, that Holmes is going to be the closer, and you'll bring Chapman into probably high leverage, I guess, situations in the seventh or eighth inning. That's how it has to be moving forward here.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case, though.
You think they're going to go back to Chapman as the closer?
Well, there was some talk, though. No, there was initially some talk. Is he better suited in those spots? Like, is that where he'll pitch his best? and then you use Holmes because you've seen him do it in the high leverage, like late innings. You know, say it's the, you know, it's the eighth inning, you're up a run and the top of the order's coming up. Is that when you decide to use him?
Well, how about so can you mix and match though? Like if the top of the order is coming up in the ninth, do I then close with Holmes? Because Holmes is my best reliever now.
Yes. No, listen, I'm all for Clay Holmes being the closer, but I think you also have to understand where, because you're going to need Chapman. Like, where is he at his best? Is he capable of being at his best if he's not the closer? If it's not a save situation? Because, I mean, at that point, I mean, once he gets back, and yesterday was a good step, I mean, how do we best deploy him where we're going to get the most out of him?
Right. Well, the nice thing about it is you don't have to worry about the future with him, right? You don't have to worry about, you know,
no,
using kid gloves, and we have to make sure not to irritate him or upset him or, you know, overuse him. Like, at the end of the season, he's gone.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about his feelings, no. No, and it's a good opportunity for him, too, to prove to people that he doesn't have to just be, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have to just be a closer.
That he can pitch in a high-leverage situation.
That he can pitch, yeah. Exactly right.
He gets you nervous because guys get on.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the problem with him, is that he loses.
Guys get on, he loses the strike zone, he can't hit the catcher, guys run the bases. Like, one-run game, eighth inning, you're nervous with the guy like Chapman on the mound.
Well, see, that's the difference, too. That's the difference with Clay Holmes, too, is he can control the running game better than Chapman does.
Well, Chapman's bad about it. Now, you had mentioned Tyone. Aaron Boone, after the game, why has Tyone struggled over his last couple of starts here for the year?
Just a couple more mistakes in a game, and tonight they hit it in the seats or for extra bases. They got him. Maybe just not quite as sharp with some command things that usually is his calling card. But, you know, that's also the ebb and flow of the season, too, where, you know, that's going to happen.
Are you concerned at all with the workload of Jameson Taillon?
J-Mo? No. I think J-Mo's fine. Yeah. And in fact, I feel like he's in a good spot to, you know, be the one of the guys we can really lean on. Not that perfect execution that, you know, we've seen a lot from him this year. And they, you know, tip your cap, they beat him with some slug tonight.
Some slug. J-Mo? Oh, J-Mo.
J-Mo action. So last three starts.
Who did they think they were talking about? Like, oh, J-Mo? Like, it felt like he just wanted to get the name J-Mo thrown in there a couple times, right?
Well, I just think he was caught off guard. I just don't think he appreciated the question. Like, why are you questioning this guy?
Because, these guys are going to wind up throwing, you know why, a lot of innings.
I understand why. But as far as he's concerned, he's going to be one of the guys that they lean on.
I get it. But, you know, you're going to have guys throwing 200 innings this year. And you're going to expect him to throw another God knows how many innings in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at his last three. Just taking his last three. Houston, they win. But he goes 5 2/3, gives up 6. Oakland, they win. He only goes 5, gives up 3. And then they lost last night. He went 5 1/3 and gave up 5. Yeah, but that's the real concern. I mean, seriously, that has to be, because Nestor's never done it before.
So he's at 89 1/3 innings, and we are literally exactly at the halfway mark. So you're looking at 180 regular season innings for him right now. Plus, now you're going to turn to him and say, all right, go give me another 5 starts in the postseason?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to be one of your guys in the postseason.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, you're counting on this guy a lot. I wonder at what point if the Yankees start to skip some guys and, you know, maybe bring up Sears a little bit, and there's an extra day. We a day off, maybe you don't get your start and you skip a start. Like, I wonder when that happens for the Yankees.
Well, I think it's definitely something that they should consider. I mean, you're in this for the long haul. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to them adding an arm at the deadline.
Starter?
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
No.
Well, you're going to get Herman back, too.
That'll be a help.
At some point, yep. Loaizaga will be back.
That'll be a huge help. He's true. When Loaizaga is right, he's as good as... I mean, the Yankees bullpen is just... It's so
dynamic.
It's
ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's so dynamic.
It really is.
The kid from Jersey went on the injured list, though.
Marinaccio. Oh, yeah.
Him and the whole band.
But, yeah, I mean, you said it yesterday, and I know I had already seen the stat, and I kind of stole your thunder, but, I mean, that's pretty impressive that their rotation has been able to start as many
70,
games.
So I guess now it's 77 of 81 starts
that's
by
impressive.
Those five guys.
Especially with the shortened spring and everything else they've stayed
this remarkable.
Healthy.
Well, look at what the Mets have had to do.
Oh, don't even bring that.
I mean, right? I mean, McGill's been hurt. DeGrom's been hurt. Scherzer's been hurt. I mean, if
Bassett
I asked
now,
you to name all the Mets starters this year, you couldn't.
Yeah, now Bassett's missing time.
Bassett's now got COVID. He's out. They asked him about, you know, is Thursday possible? He's like, that's a real long shot right now.
Yeah, it gets...
But what the Mets have had happen, that's the norm. What the Yankees have had is the outlier.
Well, yeah, but see, here's the thing, though. I always look at it as I would rather have it happen now.
Of course.
Than happen later.
If I tell you that Scherzer, DeGrom, McGill, all these guys are healthy for the postseason, that's exactly what you want.
It's exactly what you want.
Because then you're a major problem.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
How about if Ray got taken?
I will look for you.
Who's going to save him?
I will find you.
I guess I would have to.
And I will kill you.
I would think that I would probably be the third of three.
Good luck.
You'd be the never.
I'd be the distraction.
Woohoo! Over here! Oh, look, God. It's a beautiful woman.
Yes.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
It's a plump woman over there.
Yeah, beautiful. Hello! Plump. Bearded woman.
On 98.7 ESPN.
But for obvious reasons, if I was going in as the distractor, I wouldn't have a beard. Would shave this off.
Well, no, but it'd be spur of the moment. Like, oh, what can Dave do? And then we would dress you up.
Yeah, but I could go in and be like the cable guy.
And then, no, you could not be.
Oh, absolutely.
No, there's nothing handy.
The fiddle behind the television. Looks like your retractor is a little loose here. Let me just work on this.
They wouldn't even let you in the house.
Why wouldn't they let me in the house?
Because you're creepy. I'm this creepy guy.
You know what? I am not creepy.
Yeah, but I could just tell.
You could say a lot of things about me. I'm not creepy.
Yeah, but if you walked up, in that situation, you walked up to my door randomly and was like, hey, can I fix your TV? I'd be like, you can't fix anything.
Well, you wouldn't know. You know that because you know me. You wouldn't know that if I looked the part. I might just have a mustache.
You know, once you pull out a wrench and just start whacking the TV with the wrench, I'd be like, I get a pretty good.
Let me check. Let me look at the flux capacitor of this, baby.
You guys get any snacks? I'm a little hungry.
Yeah, you have any trail mix? I enjoy that. You know what the amazing thing is?
By Give
the
way, me my little cookie.
Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I can't do anything. Like, this is not a joke. If you name things to do around the house, and I can't do anything.
I don't think anyone that listens to us is surprised.
Can't. If you said change the oil in your car, I couldn't do that. Hang a mirror in the home, can't do that. I can do dishes. I can do that well.
Yeah, but your definition of dishes, you put them in the dishwasher. That's not doing dishes.
No, but I if you gave me like a scrubber, I could in theory scrub them down and do
in theory.
Well. Yeah, and do well there. I could do dishes. Like things that you need absolutely just you can be a moron to do. Like I can't do anything that's actually real labor.
No, I don't think having done the show with you for this many years that I've heard you actually done, like, it's Sherry put the desk together.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But it's amazing that she still loves you. Let's not make it sound like you're Bob Vila here on the other side.
Oh, listen, I'm like Tim the Tool Man. What do you need fixed? I put this desk together.
Please.
How about that?
You're broken, like, every toilet in your house.
No, I fixed. That's Cassie. She flushed the thing. I saved the toilet. I did that. I plunged the hell out of a toilet. I'll tell you that right now.
I can plunge.
They come in, they say, you need to snake it? No. Have me over. Give me a plunger. Done.
In fact, the other day, I was washing my hands in the sink downstairs, and all of a sudden, the water wasn't going down the drain.
I flush it!
And I said, Sherry, there's an issue here. Can you fix this?
And she came down and put some Drano in.
I don't know what she has some kind of magic potion. She puts it down, and all of a sudden, the drain works. Yes. So,
what is this Drano you speak of?
I don't know. Well, yeah, no, she says, she's like, you know, I start with, she has like a four-step process. She's like, I start with just with some dish soap and see if that clears it. And if not, then I go to stronger stuff. So, yeah, I know my place. I know what I'm good at.
How did you get so lucky? That's what the people want to know. How did you get so lucky of all the people? I mean,
I think sometimes God works in mysterious ways. Those who need the most get the most sometimes, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the case. I mean, she does everything for you. She loves you. She handles the money.
Everything. So we're opening up new bank accounts. We went to the bank yesterday, and it takes forever now. So we're opening up all these new bank accounts. And the guy's like, well, do you want this? Do you want that? I'm like, just share. Just do whatever. I mean, I don't
know. What
are
you doing, hiding money? What do you need all these bank accounts for?
Well, we have a checking account. She's unhappy with our current bank.
What are you, Marty Bird all of a sudden?
No. We have a do you not have a checking account?
Yeah, I have a checking account.
Do you have a savings account?
Yes.
Okay. That Sherry has a business, so we have a business account. And then we have custodial accounts for the kids.
Wow.
You don't have that?
You guys are rolling in it.
Oh, rolling in it.
Rolling in it.
Oh, yeah. Rolling in it.
Yeah, this sounds like a laundering situation.
It does. He's cleaning money.
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
No, this is Westchester.
I'm not going to share anymore because I tell you anything and now you take it the wrong way. Because you open a bank account doesn't mean that you have a ton of wealth.
You said multiple bank accounts. I'm listening to what you're saying because that's what we do. We listen to you. You said multiple bank accounts.
You know what? Forget it.
Yeah, I view the children's accounts as shell companies, not actual.
Shell? You know what? You say shell company. I don't even know what a shell company really is.
That's what someone who's making a shell company would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's in theory, it sounds great, like a shell company. I don't even know what that is.
Sherry sends David because they know when he gets questioned about it, he'll really have no idea.
Or if Sherry were really the mastermind, she would just send David because he literally has no idea.
I have no idea.
There'd be no
idea. So when it goes down and I'm questioned, I will be truthful because I don't know what's happening.
How did this guy get away with this?
And we're joking about it, but that's 100% legitimate. You could totally see Dave being sent in. Nope, this guy's clueless. We have nothing. Forget about the whole case. We're done.
Yeah, the Rothenbergs had nothing to do with this.
Clearly.
Meanwhile, Sherry's like Kaiser Sose. She's like, oh, mission accomplished. I knew I kept him around for something.
All right. Can we hear what Kendrick Perkins had to say on NBA Today yesterday?
Yes, let's hear it.
All right. You echoed this yesterday morning. He doesn't think KD even wants to be traded.
I don't believe Kevin Durant. I don't believe it at all. Matter of fact, it makes zero sense to me that he wants to be traded at this point. I don't believe he believes it. I think Kevin Durant is doing this as a scare tactic in order to help Kyrie Irving have leverage to get him signed long term with the Brooklyn Nets.
I mean, by the way, who would have echoed who? I mean, aren't we the first? We're the first word in sports, right?
I said he echoed what you said yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't say it like that though. I don't know if this is a scare tactic.
A scare tactic? I mean, what are you doing? If I'm the Nets, I have nothing left for these guys. I'm so sick and tired of their acts and their games and their missing games and their attitude and their wanting to be traded. I'm gonna, you know, if it means that I keep you, great. If it means I trade you, great. I am done placating these guys on this team.
Well, that's the thing though. I mean, this is. I understand what he's saying because it for me, and I said this yesterday, it's just for all parties involved, it makes the most sense to try to run this back for one more year and see what happens. That gives you the best chance to win a championship, which would quiet all the noise and not make this a colossal failure. But the fact that the Nets, because we all know how this works, right? It's, you know, Kyrie will use Shams and then the Nets will use Woj. So they're feeding these guys what to say. And, you know, trying to create, you know, whatever narrative they're trying to create on their side. The fact that it was leaked to Woj that the Nets were okay with losing KD, like, I mean, that almost says to me, like, Joe Tsai's just fed up. Like, he's like, what are we doing here?
Can you blame him?
No, I can't blame him. But I would also, listen, I'm also someone that realizes, like, that we're on the verge of being a laughingstock right now.
On the verge of?
Well, he hasn't left yet. He's not gone yet. And I mean, the guy just did sign a 4-year extension for almost $200 million. We've bent over backwards. The amount of money that we've spent to try to make this thing work, the amount of draft picks, the future that we leverage to try to win now, because these guys wanted it. We fired a good coach to hire Steve Nash.
We've done everything to make it work for them. And this, the thanks we get is this. I mean, really, think about this. The thanks we get is one guy just goes missing. And I'm not even talking about the vaccine. All right, that's his personal choice. I get that. But the year before, when he just goes missing and he's showing up at birthday parties and the coach doesn't know where he is embarrassing. Now I bend over backwards to do everything I can to make this team successful, and now Kevin Durant wants to be dealt from this club?
Yeah, and I feel like that ship has sailed, though. Like, if this is his, like, if what Perk is saying is something that he maybe heard, and that's, you know, that's why he's doing this, like, If I'm Kevin Durant, I mean, careful overplaying your hand. Like, if it feels like the ship has sailed on that whole Kyrie thing. Like, this is, you opted in, and the only reason, you know, that you're still here right now is because no one really wants you. Right? Like, we said you could go, you know, go try to find a sign and trade. We'll do it. Not a problem. And you couldn't find one.
Of course you can't find one.
And now the only chance you get out of here is because the Lakers are so desperate to try to make it work there, and with, you know, with their current situation with Russell Westbrook, that doesn't make any sense for them. But I don't know, man. Like, I just, if you're Kevin Durant, and the reason why you left Golden State, first of all, the reason why you thought you were going to Golden State was to do what LeBron did in Miami, win the championships, and then if you decided ultimately you wanted to do your own thing, you could do it, because now you knew what it takes to win. You already have those championships in the bank, right? There's not as much pressure anymore. But it was always about legacy. With him, it always felt like it was about legacy. Like, he was, you know, he was trying to take the torch from LeBron. And now for you to do, you know, to do what LeBron did going back to Cleveland, set your whole thing up, choose Brooklyn because of Kyrie, hire your own coach, trade for James Harden. And now, you know, we're 3 years into it. You've won one playoff series. I mean, you and Kyrie have played, you know, 58 total games together. And now we're already talking about blowing it up in the teams that you list as your, you know, teams of choice are the teams that finish first in the East and first in the West.
Right. If he goes to Phoenix and they win a championship, are you giving a ton of credit to Kevin Durant? If he goes to Miami and they win a title, does it move the needle on what he is?
Can
he?
No, it does not get the same.
Can he even salvage that at this point, I guess, would be my question.
Well, no, see, that's the thing, though. It doesn't. If it's, we all know who LeBron is chasing, right? LeBron is chasing.
He's chasing Michael, yes.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, I would imagine that anyone in this generation of basketball is chasing LeBron at the moment, because it feels like it's Jordan and LeBron. They're in that room together by themselves. So KD's trying to chase that and almost following the LeBron James blueprint. So he's looking to get that. Because, like, how many times have we heard this said? LeBron going to Miami, those two, that's great. He won the two. But the championship he won going back to Cleveland was the one that stands out. That's the most impressive of the championships. Right?
I'd agree. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So Kevin Durant's looking for, he was looking for that coming back to Brooklyn. He won the two with Golden State, and now he wanted to win that one. That special one where he was, as Charles Barkley would say, the bus driver that would get him, would earn him the ultimate respect.
Correct.
It would catapult him into that.
But
can
we say that's not going to happen?
Well, not now. Unless he stays here and tries to figure it out. No, it's not going to happen. Going to Phoenix isn't going to make it happen. Going to Miami's not going to make it happen. I mean, hell, if he wanted to go back to Oklahoma City and try to do it,
that's different. If you go to OKC, if you go to a team that is not close to a championship and get them to win a title, now you become that guy. You go to Phoenix, the one seed, a team that went to the NBA Finals 2 years ago, and lead them over the hump, I'm sorry, I don't consider you to be that guy. He's a great player. He's a great scorer. You 50 years from now, you'll think back at Kevin Durant, think what a star he was. But he's not LeBron. He's never going to be LeBron.
No.
And I don't know that he's the alpha on a team that he's going to drag over the finish line.
Well, I don't think he is, though. And I think this just, I think for the negative, the real negative out of all this is that this whole Brooklyn experiment just confirms what people were already saying about him, was that he's not capable of doing that.
Could you imagine if this had happened with the Knicks? If these two had signed here with the Knicks and this same thing happened here with the Knicks?
Listen, maybe the Knicks weren't lying when they said it.
That they didn't want Kyrie?
That they didn't want this whole Kyrie thing. I mean, what a mistake that was. Like, I mean, I get your buddies. But, like, part of being buddies is, like, kind of knowing who your buddy is. And understanding, like, that this was not, like, if I'm going to try to, you know, change. Like, if I'm doing something this important that could kind of shape how people view my legacy. Like, you got to pick the right guy.
Yeah, cockroaches. Tying your legacy to Kyrie Irving, huh?
Yeah, that was, I mean, talk about mistakes.
Yeah, that
is. What are you doing?
Monument. I can't get over that, where he's mocking.
Well, how about, you weren't even here for when Kyrie released the quote. Santiago, find that quote from Kyrie, would you please?
Yeah, that was tweeted by Shams. I know the one you're talking
about.
Find that
quote.
It's ridiculous.
Because you hated that. Because you were instantly retweeting that. Just smashing it.
Well, he's big into Twitter anyway.
He's really good at Twitter, Santiago. He brings a lot to my attention that I'm not even paying attention to.
Like, so
what's the quote?
Handstand twerking, which I saw from Santiago the other day.
It was the one when he decided to pick up the option.
Yeah, it was from The Athletic.
normal.
Oh, normal
people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow.
You'd think he was like John F. Kennedy.
Oh, RJ's favorite part is the last part, though. He says, "See you. I've made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall. A11 even."
What are you doing?
You know, he didn't tell the Nets either, by the way. That's how they found out.
Through that?
He didn't even tell them. He just picked it up.
No, I'm not all there. What does A11 even mean?
I have no idea.
Oh, so that's some kind of a cryptic message?
Yeah.
I thought it was something that I was
cockroaches.
Some spin off his number with some message, and I don't know.
Well, the whole point of it was that those who are different. What do you mean different? Every single person would have taken the $36.5 million.
But dare to be different.
Quite the leader.
You make it sound like he's walking America to raise money for the homeless.
Well, that's the problem with him, though. He thinks he's at a different level than everybody else.
Well, he thinks he's better than you.
Yes, pretty
that's
much.
That's what it comes down to. He thinks he's better than you.
He's more enlightened. He sees things differently.
He is more worthy. He is better. He is smarter.
He's the guy who suffers from smartest guy in the room syndrome. He's the smartest guy in the room, and he's always going to let you know.
Always.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
RJ, you're the only one that knows the game that, in fact, we're playing. RJ?
And he doesn't care because he's answering phones. Yep.
Nope, present.
To be fair, it sounded like you were going somewhere and you were...
I'm going to bring RJ in to kind of start the process of the game. Okay. Are you ready to play, RJ?
We're ready for the game.
Come on down, Rick. You were right yesterday. We're playing the feud.
Yes.
We're playing the feud. All right, here's how it's going to work. The DiPietro family and the Santillo family will start. You'll battle. The winner will take on Santiago, depending on time. It'll be a double elimination battle. I have sports answers and non-sports answers on the board. I'll let you choose, Rick, the DiPietros. Where would you like to start, sports or non-sports?
Let's start sports.
Okay. Now, not heavy, deep sports. This is a question that, in fact, was on the Family Feud at one point. Top five answers on the board. Name a sport that might be played at a family reunion. Sport that might be played at a family reunion. Now, here's how we're going to work it. Okay? If Rick, you're going to answer first. We're going to go back and forth. We're not going to play typical feud style. We're going to go back and forth. The first one to miss loses. Now, you'll have to answer if you're on the other side. So, Rick, if you miss right now, RJ has to answer one correct to win the game and gain the point. Do you understand the rules, both of you?
I understand the rules.
Name a sport that might be played at a family reunion. Top five answers on the board.
I'm going to go with just good old-fashioned football.
Good old-fashioned football. Make Buster's dog go crazy. That's a ding. Not only is that a ding, that's the number one answer on the board. 54 out of 100 say football family reunion. RJ.
That's a big number.
Now, you get this wrong, Rick wins, because he already got the top half of the inning.
All righty. I'm going to say basketball.
Basketball. Is there? It's fifth of five, six out of 100 voted for basketball, but it doesn't matter. It's in the running. Three remain, 2, 3, and 4.
All right, so we got football, we got basketball.
We do.
How about like a good old-fashioned wiffle ball baseball kind of situation?
Wiffle ball baseball. All right, darling. Is it on the board? It is. That is number 2. 21 say baseball. You got 3 and 4.
So we got the 3 of the 4 major sports. So unless I want to go with a nice ice
unless
hockey
it's a
game,
Canadian family.
A little
reunion,
street hockey. Probably. How about some street hockey? Who knows? Put Nana in some goalie pads.
Yes.
So we're going to go unconventional here off the major four. How about...
Oh, I would love this.
How about volleyball?
Volleyball.
Ooh, good answer.
Is it on the board? No.
What?
No. No. Rick, congratulations. The DiPietro's win round one. Any guesses? Any quick guesses? Anybody?
Are these like, can you give me a hint? Like, what kind of sports?
Kind of like, they're not sports. It's kind of like games.
Like cornhole?
No, but yes, right there.
Well, like horseshoes or something
like that? Horseshoes is third. And frisbee is fourth.
Oh.
Frisbee.
Sorry, RJ.
Tossing the frisbee.
Sorry, RJ.
Good game, though. Good game.
We had a family. We had a party. Not a family reunion, but a party for Cass, like a graduation at my house.
Here we go.
And we had volleyball set up. And we had brought absinthe home from the World Championships. And people were doing shots of absinthe, including my dad. If you should have seen him playing volleyball on absinthe, boy. Holy.
Oh, that was probably a treat.
Oh, it was a treat.
All right, Raymond, you're up. The Santiago family.
So I'm picking sports or not sports?
No, I think we're going to go not sports now.
Okay.
We'll kind of go back and forth.
Is there a sports option? I'm just curious.
Would you like a sport? You want to go sports?
Doesn't sound like there is.
No, stick to the script.
No, I can go. I can go sports.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right. So, Rick, you're up. You have one. The Santillos are 0-1. Santiago's will play now. Rick, you ready to go up against Raymond?
I am.
All right. Name something in a person's closet that only comes out on special occasions. Top five answers on the board. Name something in a person's closet that only comes out on special occasions.
I don't know. The first thing that came to my mind, I can't even say on the radio. I'm going to go with, how about a tuxedo?
Oh, tuxedo. It feels like you've played this game before. It is number one. Suit, tuxedo, 35 of the 100 go in that direction. The Santiago family.
Oh, it seems very narrow.
Oh,
I can't think of anything past the suit, so.
Seriously,
well, how many different
you're playing
things
right up to what I said about you.
I mean, Sherry has stuff in her closet that she could pull out for a special occasion.
Yeah, right. These are things that were talked about prior to the show that can't be said on air, so.
I mean, only you guys. Only the Ron Jeremy of sports talk. You can't just keep your mind out of the gutter for 10 minutes. Name something in a person's closet that only comes out on special occasions. Suit, tuxedo, off the board. What else? Ray, you're up.
I mean, who says anything past...
Oh, my God.
You're an embarrassment, is what you are.
I don't know, dress shoes.
Dress shoes, survey says. Number four, six people say dress shoes.
All right, so we went tuxedo, we got dress shoes. How about a nice, beautiful dress for a special occasion?
I mean, it's like you have grown up on the Family Feud. A nice, beautiful dress is number two. 26 people vote for a nice, beautiful dress. Number three and number five, two answers remain. Santiago family.
I mean, if dress is in there, what about a nice hat? No, like a Kentucky Derby hat, something like that.
Oh, yes.
If dress is in there, how about a hat?
If dress is there, how could hat not be? Let's go to the board. Do we have hat? No. You're out. Rick, you win again. Having a nice hat. Anybody have a guess? RJ, you can incorporate yourself into this as well here. Anybody?
The only thing I can think of, I don't know if it's tied into suit, is a nice fancy tie.
It's not on there. Not a bad guess. Better than a hat. Jewelry. And for those really special times, a shotgun.
A hat. How about a hat?
Also,
a shotgun.
A shotgun.
Yeah,
yes.
For special occasions. It's like if
someone
really,
you're
not
really,
a, that's
really,
not a
you're
special
really
occasion.
Having that special moment with that someone you love, you break out, of course, the shotgun. All right. So, Rick, you're dominating. RJ, where are we for time?
It is 6:55.
I don't mean what time is it. I mean, do we have time to play one more round?
I suppose.
Probably.
All right, we'll call this the losers round because Rick, you've already dominated.
I've already won. Yeah,
you've already won. You've embarrassed the both of them. It's been a disaster. I think
this
goes
dresses on there.
How about a nice hat? I love the way he says it, too. How about a nice hat? He's like an old Jewish man in a deli, right? How about a nice hat? All right. Raymond, this is for you. This is inspired by you. Name a sports uniform that many men look sexy in.
Oh,
name
yeah.
a sports uniform that many men look sexy in. Top five answers on the board.
Baseball uniform.
Baseball number one. Good for you. Great
baseball
for you.
Baseball uniform's
you
number one.
You are leader in the clubhouse. By the way, this mystery game Family Feud brought to you by Jack Pocket. All right, RJ, name a sports uniform that many men look sexy in.
How about a basketball uniform?
Basketball would be number four. Eight participants vote yes on basketball. Raymond, back to you.
Football uniform's got to be there.
Oh, not only is it there, it's the highest remaining uniform. It's number two. 30 vote in that direction. RJ, to stay alive here in the game.
See, I'd like to say hockey, because, I mean, no one wears a hockey.
Come on.
No, no one, on. No one looks sexy in a hockey uniform.
I've seen Rick wear a hockey jersey.
I look that terrific.
So.
Would you like to go hockey, then?
No. A sports uniform. So, I mean, we're dwindling down here now. I mean, there's really not too many left.
Well, that's up for you to determine. You have two on the board.
Give me a soccer jersey.
I'll give you that soccer jersey. And that gives you third with 11 votes. Raymond, one more. Not easy. Sports uniform that many men look sexy in. This and one. I will give you both a slight hint here. Uniform is not exactly the word I would use to describe this.
That's a weird hint.
How about a beautiful hat?
No.
Yes.
Not a beautiful hat.
No. No.
I mean, like, I could say shotgun, and it would make as much sense as it did in the last category. Here, seriously. Yeah, I'm stumped on it, so I'll just go out there and say a lacrosse uniform.
A lacrosse uniform, no. No. As attractive as the men do look in the lacrosse uniform, the answer is not that. RJ for the steal and the win.
I'm thinking something almost spandexy.
Oh.
Like a wrestling.
Like a singlet.
Yeah, like a swimmer's uniform.
Like a singlet.
I mean, I don't know if rugby players wear a uniform. I feel like that's...
What do you mean you don't know if rugby players wear... Of course they
wear uniforms.
Uniforms
is rugby shirts.
What do you think? It's like willy-nilly. They just wear whatever they want. Hey, yeah. Short wear darks, wear lights.
Coming down on the left side is Steve. He's wearing not matching shorts and a T-shirt.
So you're,
he's wearing a Dallas Cowboys jersey.
Yeah. is that Rodney wearing a Kings uniform?
So I don't know if... People would be wearing those. So
what a colossal failure this is.
So your clue is you don't know if you would describe it as
a uniform. No, I would not describe it as a uniform,
sorry.
I said.
I'm not going to say rugby, then. Give me wrestler.
Oh, you were so close.
Oh, is it swimmer?
Swimmer.
It's swimwear.
It's a bikini. That, what's wrong with you two?
How's that not considered a uniform, though?
Well, I mean, you don't think of that as a uniform.
It's underwear.
But yeah, I mean, it's what they wear to participate in said event, but it's not exactly a uniform.
Well, they all wear the same. I mean, they do wear the same.
Would you not agree, Rick, that was not a good hint? That was a good hint.
Well, I mean, it sent RJ onto the wrestling.
Well, but it also made him think of swimwear.
I don't know how that's not one of the first things that comes to mind. What do you look sexy
in? I mean, here's what we've just determined.
I thought that
would
just be
a
bathing suit.
That was the mystery game.
Well, it's their uniform,
feud.
Though.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.